Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praises in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You know, they say the average diaper bag weighs about 4 to 5 pounds. Well, my wife, an overachiever as always, this bad boy must weigh at least 3 times that much. Now, I'm not one to complain, all right, but this thing can become a little bit cumbersome on our way from point A to point B, which begs the question, is all the stuff in this bag actually necessary, or am I being unnecessarily weighed down? St. John's family, let's open this bag and investigate together. So, as I open it, the first thing you'll see is, of course, that makes sense. You got a few of these in there, a few diapers, but it's not just one or two. At all times, there are at least 6+ diapers in this bag. I mean, what could possibly happen on one little family outing where we would need 6 diapers or more? And if you keep on digging, let's see what else we got in here. Ah, that is so nice. Look at this. A little change of clothes. But it's not just one change of clothes in there. There are 3 separate changes of clothes. St. John's family, I ask once again, what could possibly happen where we would need 3 different changes of clothes on one little family trip? Let's see what else we got in here. Ah, look at that. I like the looks of that. We've got some snacks. But it's not just one kind of snack in there. There are 3 different kinds of snacks. Do our kids really need that much variety on one little trip? Let's see what else we got in here, huh? If we keep digging. Aha, look at this. Anyone know what these are? These are dog poop bags. Now why, oh why, would we need dog poop bags in our diaper bag? Our dog Penny, she doesn't really come with us on our family trips anymore. It's too much to take her out with all the 3 little kids around on each and every little trip. So once again, I ask, is all this stuff actually necessary? Well, the truth is, as I was reflecting on just the past week or so, it turns out not only is this stuff necessary, my wife was just packing the essentials. As I replayed just the past week or so, there was a trip where we went through not just 1 or 2 diapers. Went through all 6. There have been times when we have used all 3 changes of clothing on one little trip out of the house. And dog poop bags, we've used them. And no dog poop was involved. I will leave that one to your imagination. And 3 different kinds of snacks. Yep, we've used them too. There was one outing where everyone was cranky and would only settle for a certain snack. Cooper wanted his applesauce pouch. Nathan wanted his veggie straws. I was cranky and hungry too and certainly wasn't going to settle for an applesauce pouch or veggie straws. And so good thing the Cheez-Its made it along for the ride. And good thing my wife keeps us well stocked for our journeys. And speaking of journeys, perhaps you have been through the 2-year Bible journey part way with us over the past quarter of the year or so. And if you're following along, you will know that God's people Israel have begun a little journey of their own. They're going all the way from Egypt land to that promised land, and it's going to be quite the trip. Their suitcases are going to be packed fuller than Orion's diaper bag, all right? And actually, just like we examine this here diaper bag, we're going to take a look in the Israelites' bags as well, their travel bags. And as we examine them, we're actually going to see some rather unusual items that you might think, why would they bring those with? Doesn't that seem like it would weigh them down just a little bit? But as unusual as these items might seem, it turns out they were only packing the essentials. And what they pack teaches us a whole lot about what we should be packing into our day, each and every day. Let's begin that journey now. It starts at Exodus 12 with these words. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said and go." Pharaoh has had just about enough, hasn't he? I think it has something to do with some plagues, especially that last one. He's pushed over the edge. He finally lets God's people go, an event 430 years in the making. That's how long the Israelites had been in Egypt. Now, this is going to be quite the move, like I said, all the way from Egypt to the Promised Land. A journey of around 250 miles, depending on which route they take. St. John's family, if you were moving 250 miles to a new home, what would you bring with? And consider, you're not going to have one of these. Everything you bring with, it's basically going to be on your back. There would be some serious packing decisions, right? What stays? What goes? Well, those Israelites are going to have some packing decisions because space is going to be at an absolute premium. What stays? What goes? Now, there are some obvious things that they are going to absolutely bring with. They got to eat, so they're going to bring their livestock. They're going to bring their sheep. They're going to bring their goats. Turns out there's going to be battles on the way to the Promised Land and once they arrive in the Promised Land. So they're going to bring some armor and weapons. They're going to bring clothing with, for obvious reasons. They also bring with a bunch of gold and silver, a rather unusual situation here. But in Exodus 12, we read that God made the Egyptians' hearts specially inclined towards the Israelites on their way out the door. And they loaded the Israelites down with gold and silver. Consider it back pay for hundreds of years of slavery. With all of that in their bags, they're going to be bursting at the seams, or so it would seem. But there are a few essentials that they're still going to load into those bags that seem rather unusual. But like I said, they have a plan and a purpose behind them, and so does God. If you kept on digging in those bags between the gold and the silver, undoubtedly you would find a whole lot of unleavened bread. Why, Pastor? Why, with space at such a premium, are they packing their bags full of unleavened bread? Well, I'm actually about to answer that question, right? The reason, at least in part, that it was unleavened is because they left Egypt in such a hurry. It says the Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country. So the people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs wrapped in clothing. They had to get out of there and get out of there quickly. The bread didn't even have time to rise. But this unleavened bread was so important to them that they stuff it in their bags and they take their kneading troughs along with them too. And this was all by God's design. Unleavened bread was to be a very regular part of the Israelite diet, actually. In fact, in Exodus 13, 7 through 8, we read God commanding his people. He says, "You are to eat unleavened bread during the seven-day festival of unleavened bread. When you do that on that day, tell your children, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt." In other words, they were to eat that unleavened bread, and every time they ate it or even looked at it, they were to remember all of the great things that God had already done for them. And my friends, God had done great things for the Israelites, hadn't he? It's an incredible thing what God did to that Egyptian empire, one of the largest empires in the entire world at that time. He defeats them through the power of plagues and miracles and signs and wonders. He won a great victory for the Israelites. They are to look at that unleavened bread and remember that. Now, why would they need regular reminders of God winning victories on their behalf on their way from point A to point B, on their way from Egypt land to that Promised Land? Well, it turns out, if you're following along with the story, there are going to be regular times when the Israelites have their faith rather shaken and it appears to be rather weak. In fact, one such example happens in Exodus 14. Turns out that Pharaoh wasn't quite ready to let God's people go, and so he chases them down with his army and he has them cornered against the Red Sea. The Red Sea's at their backs, Pharaoh's army's at their front. And we get this scene from Exodus 14:10. It says, "As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, 'Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in this desert.'" I don't know about you, but it sounds like to me that their faith is rather low at this point in the story. Well, when their faith was at its lowest, you know what they could do? They could look in their packs, pull out that unleavened bread, and they could remember the great victories that God had won for them in the face of a rather scary situation. They're between the quintessential rock and a hard place, aren't they? The Red Sea at their backs, Pharaoh at the front. Like I said, it's in moments like this that they could look at that unleavened bread and their faith would be bolstered. And by the way, as they're looking at that unleavened bread, Moses could add a little something to the situation here. In Exodus 14, 13 through 14, he says some incredible show-stopping words that would certainly strengthen their faith. It's our highlighted verses of the day. If you want to, you can highlight them in your Bibles right now or later on. They're well worth highlighting. It says, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." Great, great verses. As Moses says those verses, they could look at that unleavened bread and say, you know what? He's onto something, isn't he? Because we've already experienced victories through the power of God where we just sat still and did nothing. And by the way, that wasn't the only time on the trip where their faith was weak. Not just Exodus 14. How about Exodus 15, 16, 17? Kind of a theme, right? It seems like it's just about every chapter. Whether it was struggling with not enough water or food or wanting a new leader, there were plenty of times in our readings this week alone where their faith was down and they could look at that unleavened bread and have their faith bolstered. It was absolutely a packing essential. Of course, it's not the only strange packing essential they brought with them. If you kept on digging in those packs beyond the gold and the silver and the clothing and the unleavened bread, you would absolutely find musical instruments and plenty of them. Once again, with space at such a premium, why are they packing things like tambourines and drums and bells? Wouldn't that weigh them down a whole lot on their trip? Well, it turns out they used these musical instruments and they used them well, didn't they? In fact, fast forward one chapter to Exodus 15, and we have a whole chapter basically dedicated to them using those instruments. You might call it the Song of Miriam. Miriam was Moses' sister, and her and many of the other women of Israel, they break out their instruments and they use them to worship the Lord. Why are they praising God so loudly with all those instruments? Well, what had he just done for them? They had just watched as Moses, through the power of God, had parted that Red Sea. They walked safely through on dry land to the wilderness. And the Egyptians, well, they didn't quite make it, now did they? And the reason they had those instruments packed with them is because they knew there would be regular and plenty of reasons to worship God on their way from Egypt land to that promised land. They packed those instruments expecting for God to come through for them regularly. And by the way, there were a whole lot of reasons for them to worship on this journey, not just Exodus 14. We could look at Exodus 13 from this week, God leading them through the wilderness by fire and cloud. Or Exodus 16, God giving them manna from heaven. Or Exodus 17, God giving them water from a rock. Or Exodus 20, God giving them the Ten Commandments and showing them how to live God-pleasing lives. They were plenty of reasons to worship, and they brought those instruments expecting them to happen. Like I said, some unusual packing essentials, but it turns out they had to have. And how about one more strange one here? If you kept on looking in their bags beyond the unleavened bread, beyond those musical instruments, you would find something very unusual. You might find Joseph's bones from Exodus 13, 19. It says, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. A rather strange thing. You can almost picture it. Moses is going through his packing list. Did I get everything? Gold? Check. Silver? Check. Staff? Check. What am I forgetting? Ah, yes, Joseph's bones. Where did I leave those things? It's a rather strange packing essential. Why, oh why, did he bring him with? Well, you saw in the verse already, right? Why bring this heavy box containing Joseph's bones? Joseph had made his family promise that they'd lay his bones to rest in the promised land. As Joseph's life comes to an end, he is in Egypt, and he has his family gathered around, and he says, don't leave my remains here. One day, it might not seem like it right now at all, but one day, our people, this family, is gonna make it back to the land of Canaan, back to that land that God has promised them. When that happens, take my bones with you and bury them there. Joseph, by faith, tells his family that. Moses, by faith, brings those bones along. And what those bones really point to are promises that the Israelites could look forward to that God would absolutely keep. Kind of a fun packing list, right? Not just the gold and silver or the clothes and the livestock. They've got to have that unleavened bread and those musical instruments. They've got to have the bones of Joseph. They all had a plan and a purpose. They were absolutely essential. And like I said about 14 or 15 minutes ago or so, these packing essentials are going to teach us a whole lot about what we should be packing to our day, each and every day. So let's look at it again. Why did they bring that unleavened bread with? They brought it with because they could look at it and have their faith strengthened. And the truth is, we need to have something similar packed into our day, each and every day, because just like the Israelites, we will face things on our daily journeys that test our faith. And the truth is, when those things happen, you don't want to have to wait until Saturday night or Sunday morning to have your faith bolstered. You want something right there, right then. What could you bring with and pack into your day each and every day that strengthens your faith? You know what? I actually think I saw it in here. Part of the reason my wife's bag here is extra heavy is because she always packs her Bible in her diaper bag. Good for you, honey. The truth is, the Bible is an extraordinary gift that God gives us where we can look at it, and what does it do? It strengthens our faith when it's at its lowest, when it's at its lulls. That's what God's word says over and over again. Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. When we read the Bible, what does it do? It reminds us of all the victories that God has already won for us. And that's something, isn't it, when we're in the midst of a battle of our own? We can look at that and remember all the times that God has come through for us. Most of all, we remember that biggest victory that he had on your behalf personally when he defeated your biggest enemies, sin, death, and the devil on the cross. That is absolutely what Jesus Christ, your Savior, did with his perfect life and perfect death. We read God's word. We remember that great victory. We remember all the other victories, all the other promises. It strengthens our faith in the midst of our trials. And by the way, as we remember those things, it gives us plenty of reasons to worship. Which, why did they bring those musical instruments with? They brought them with because they expected reasons to worship. And as you look at your day, you should expect reasons to worship each and every day, and make sure you pack that worship time in to your day. There are plenty of reasons to worship, whether it's answered prayer, right? If you pray in the morning and it gets answered, you know what you should do? You should stop right there and worship God and thank him for all that he has done. There are plenty of reasons to worship every day, whether it's answered prayer, simply looking around at the wonder of God's creation. When you experience something like that, don't hold back. Worship him. He is worthy of all praise. So they've got their unleavened bread. They've got their musical instruments. And lastly, they brought Joseph's bones with because of promises that God would fulfill one day. And my friends, you should pack your own version of Joseph's bones into your day. And in fact, whether you know it or not, you already do. It's your own bones. Because of Jesus, your bones, just like Joseph's bones, are going to make it to the promised land. And it's a far better promised land than even Joseph experienced. I'm talking about heaven, right? One day you are going to be with Jesus each and every day, face to face, experiencing the splendors and wonders of heaven because of what he did for you, just you, on the cross. You can look at yourself and remember that. And as you remember that over and over again, as you pack that into your day, you're going to want to pack these other things into your day all the more. They build on each other. The more you do one of these things, the more you're going to want to do the others. And of course, St. John's family, my prayer for you this week is that you do just that. May you pack these things into your day each and every day because of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.